You're listening to Opus Talks, where you'll be in on conversations with insiders in the energy, chemicals, and environmental commodities markets. Guests share insights into the latest trends and innovations, industry challenges, and much more. Let's dive into the conversations that explore where the energy economy is headed, right here on Opus Talks.
Hello, you're listening to Opus Talks Renewable Fuels. I'm Jordan Godwin, Director of Renewables Pricing here at Opus, a Dow Jones company. With me today is longtime LCFS and biofuels industry analyst and guru Megan Boutwell, President of Stillwater Associates. Megan will be speaking at the upcoming Opus LCFS and Carbon Markets Workshop in San Diego on January 15th, talking about LCFS markets. In today's episode, we'll get you caught up on all the latest, and you'll learn what to expect from the biofuels and LCFS markets in the coming months. So before we get started, just a bit of background on LCFS markets and biofuels before we dive in. LCFS stands for Low Carbon Fuel Standard, and it was started in California as a way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the state's transportation fuels. The program essentially assigns carbon intensity scores on fuels used in the state and targets percentage-based improvements in the state's average CI score by giving credits to fuels that are below that year's annual target line. Those fuels can include biofuels such as ethanol, biodiesel, renewable natural gas, sustainable aviation fuel, and many others, while the deficits largely come from gasoline and diesel. California had the first program, and there are similar programs in Oregon, Washington, soon to be New Mexico, and possibly other states, as well as British Columbia and a nationwide program in Canada. I should also note that Opus is the benchmark pricing authority for LCFS credits with futures contracts on the Intercontinental Exchange. LCFS credits have kind of been our bread and butter for a long time. Whew, that was a long intro. So Megan, I'll let you talk for a while. How are you doing lately? Can you give our readers, our listeners, an introduction to yourself and Stillwater?
Sure. Thanks, Jordan. That was quite an introduction. Yeah. I'm really good. Thank you. I am the president of Stillwater, as you mentioned. We're a transportation energy consulting firm. A lot of our consulting is around the energy transition, so that move away from petroleum fuels to renewable fuels and electricity. We provide consulting services around government policies, business strategy and economics, mergers and acquisitions, and litigation support. We offer subscription publications, including our LCFS newsletter, where we provide analysis on the market activity around low carbon fuel programs in California, Oregon, Washington, British Columbia, and developing programs like the federal one that you mentioned in Canada and the one that's developing in New Mexico. We also offer forward-looking outlooks for credit prices in these markets in our online Carbon Markets Outlook dashboard.
That's awesome. And obviously, you guys always do fantastic work. I always enjoy seeing what you're up to. Yeah, you're a great follow on LinkedIn, social media as well. Always giving us good insights. So can you kind of walk us through the journey that has been this latest LCFS rulemaking, what the California Air Resources Board was trying to accomplish in the amendments, and how we got here, and just kind of give us the quick version of what's been going on with that rulemaking, I guess.
The quick version. It has taken a while. It's been a journey. That's the way to put it for sure. So CARB adjusts the LCFS about every 3 years in a rulemaking process that takes quite some time. It requires drafting rules and public comment and then approving the rules. And that takes some time. This time around, it took a bit longer than it has in the past. So as I said, generally the rules are updated every 3 years, and they're meant to adjust to market conditions and meet state climate targets. The process starts with the publication of a scoping plan. So the most recent scoping plan was in 2022, and that plan lays out a sector by sector roadmap for California to achieve carbon neutrality by 2045 or earlier. That's their goal. And so with the LCFS amendments, CARB has to propose amendments that will align with those goals in the scoping plan. So the goals for this round of rulemaking were to tighten the stringency of the standard, which would boost prices for credits and drive investment. And then they'd also wanted to include a mechanism that allows the standard to be responsive to the market. That's what people were calling the ratchet, but it's also called the AAM. And then they wanted to incorporate environmental justice concerns around fuel production. So that was what they were doing. This is why we did it, why CARB did it. And so it took 3 years. The culmination of that whole process, which included 10 public workshops, 2 multilingual community workshops, board meetings, over 1,000 comments, modeling by CARB staff. The final hearing was on November 8th. That was a 12-hour long hearing. So that included 7 hours of public comment, 4 hours for the board to debate the merits of the proposed resolution to approve the amendments. And these amendments include like a near-term step down in the CI benchmark of 9% in 2025, refinements to feedstock sustainability provisions, zero emission vehicle infrastructure eligibility provisions, and provisions that would increase support for zero emission vehicle fueling. So that resolution passed 12-2, which, you know, that means that now the amendments will kind of get started. We don't think they might need a little bit more time to get started in 2025. They might not kick in by January. They might kick in February. So we'll see. But it came down to the wire, but they passed. So that's what happened.
Excellent. Yeah, that was a really good summary. And like I said, it was a journey. There was a lot. You rattled off a lot of numbers to kind of illustrate that. And from the markets that we cover, from a market perspective, I guess, for LCFS, it was clear that the cumulative credit bank had really grown out of control. It was to the point where it was really bearish for prices. Prices were low and weak, and there didn't seem to be much optimism in the market that they were going to recover. So I guess, how do you guys evaluate how the amendments and the increased stringency of the program will affect that cumulative credit balance? Can you walk us through what that looks like and maybe what the next few years could hold?
Yeah. And so we, as I said, we do forward-looking credit price outlooks. For our LCFS version, we update that on a quarterly basis. So our last edition, which was published in September, we actually modeled the draft amendments, which have largely been unchanged since CARB passed them on the 8th. And the way we do that is we model the supply and demand of credit and deficit generating fuels. We take a look at what will happen with gasoline and diesel, and then all of the renewable fuels and electricity supply and demand going out to 2035. And we do that in 3 scenarios. We have a base case, a high gasoline demand, low EV adoption case, and then a high EV adoption, low gasoline demand case. So the rate of EV adoption is really the big factor here. When we modeled the draft amendments in our fall outlook, which we published in September, what that shows is that we expect quarterly credit surpluses will continue through 2030 in the base case and the high EV adoption case. So if people start buying EVs, we see the credit surpluses will continue through 2030. And that is as the market absorbs those large increases in RD production and increasingly low carbon intensity supply of RNG, renewable natural gas, and a growing population of light duty EVs. And so, and then in the high gasoline case, we see the credit bank go negative in 2030. But we do see that credit bank kind of drop for both of those two cases. So it will be supportive of prices. And then we're in the process of updating that forward-looking outlook now, and we'll be publishing the next edition in December.
Okay. Very exciting. So if you're not already signed up and getting Stillwater stuff, you're going to be wanting to get access to that report. So definitely reach out to Megan. Yeah, that's excellent. What about outside of California? What are some of the more interesting developments you guys are tracking currently?
Yeah, it's all very exciting. It's pretty dynamic. I would just kind of locally, I'm here in Portland, Oregon, and the city updated their renewable fuel standard a couple years ago with the goal to phase out petroleum diesel by 2030, just within the city. So that's sales of petroleum diesel. and that would replace the current diesel supply with renewable diesel and biodiesel with a maximum carbon intensity score of 40, which could get kind of challenging in the later years as we see kind of the average CI of renewable diesel going up. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to supply in Oregon and around the country as federal incentives are scheduled to change in 2025. And as the increase in RD production capacity requires higher volumes of that higher carbon intensity veg oil feedstock. And then secondly, like everyone, we're paying attention to what happens at the federal level, given, what the change administration in January. And, you know, essentially we see making any changes to the Inflation Reduction Act will require Congress to change the law. But, you know, what's really at question here is the Clean Fuels Production Tax Credit, 45Z. That's supposed to replace the biomass blenders diesel tax credit, BTC, this year. That's kind of in question because the guidance for that incentive has been long delayed and it's created a lot of regulatory uncertainty. So we're watching that pretty closely.
Okay. Yeah, we've been getting that question a lot too. What happens to the tax credit? We're still waiting on that 45Z guidance. I think I saw a meme on Twitter this morning. People are getting tired of waiting.
It's definitely, yeah, it's unfair that it's taken this long, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously with biofuels, there's always policy involved. And with policy, there's uncertainty involved. So if it just feels like it's like part of this market.
Yeah.
So, and we've also seen legislation introduced in several states in recent years trying to join the party with California, Oregon, Washington, and New Mexico coming on now. Do you think we'll see any new states add LCFS programs in 2025?
We're keeping really close track of state legislative efforts. So in 2024, bills were introduced in New Jersey, New York, Illinois, Hawaii, and Massachusetts. And then there are bills that are kind of like knocking around states that have been previously proposed or they're being considered or whatever. And so some of those are in Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Michigan, Colorado, Vermont. There's been some activity in Nebraska. So everybody has a bet on who will go next. I think I've heard that Massachusetts could be close, but who knows? So it'll be interesting to watch for sure. I think given the results of the election, I think you'll see more state activity here, like states take on the leadership role in carbon reduction. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Something to pay attention to this upcoming legislative session. I also wanted to touch briefly on Canada. British Columbia had an election where that province's LCFS program may have been on the chopping block, but seems to have nearly avoided that scenario. How about the nationwide clean fuels regulations? Is the future of that program at stake with Canada's upcoming election?
Yeah, so maybe. The leader of their Conservative Party, Pierre Poilievre, has pledged to abolish the clean fuels regulation if and when the Conservatives gain power. There could be a parliamentary election anytime between now and next October. So, that's a little, there's some question there for sure. But the CFR has been in the works for a while and companies have made investments based on the regulation. So just like the Inflation Reduction Act in the United States, it'll be difficult to unwind. We've also seen that with the renewable fuel standard, the federal renewable fuel standard. It'll be difficult to unwind. You'll see like shifts in the way the administration administers the program, kind of like how RFS is administered, but we don't think they'll be able to, like they say, axe the tax. I'm not sure that will be able to happen. So, you know, we're watching these developments really closely. We're about to publish our BC LCFS credit price outlook this week. And so we were paying really close attention to what happened in BC. And then we'll be publishing our Canadian credit price outlook early next year.
Oh, that sounds great. So definitely be on the lookout for those as well. And we'll close it out with one more plug for our upcoming conference. You've been a regular attendee in the past, and you'll also be on stage this year in San Diego at our LCFS and Carbon Markets Workshop. What conversations are you most interested in hearing at this year's event?
Well, it's an excellent networking event. I'm looking forward to seeing friends. We have friends from Oregon that are going to be there, which is exciting. And then meeting new folks. And then I have a real soft spot in my heart for sustainable aviation fuel. I really want to see it, you know, develop. And so I'm really interested in, you know, innovative policy proposals, technology, and economic strategy to increase production. So I'm excited to hear from Greg Stady at Montana Renewables for sure.
Absolutely. Greg's always fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much, Megan, for joining us and sharing all of your insights and the exciting work you guys are doing at Stillwater. I look forward to hearing you speak at the OPIS LCFS and Carbon Markets Workshop in San Diego in January.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks.
All right. And that's the end of our podcast. Thank you all for joining. Have a great day.
We hope you've enjoyed today's insider conversation on Opus Talks. Join us next time for a deep dive into another industry insider's world. You can find more Opus Talks episodes at opusnet.com/podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.